Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. It's the best way to do things. Factual. Today we're talking about part 5, chapter 17, Icky Business. How will this sad time affect the Levin-Kitty marriage? I was wondering that. Is it going to strengthen them? Or is it going to be a rift? Ivan Norwegian said, well, that was a depressing chapter. It was, I agree. It's good that Kitty came with Levin after all. She instantly knew what to do, like Varenka. I'd forgotten that they met already, which makes it doubly good that she came with. I think this will make them closer, and maybe serve to break down some of Levin's walls. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I tried to resist, I have failed, says Swim, said the Mama Fishy. Told ya. Is that a quote from the chapter? I tried to resist, I have failed? I'm not sure what that is. Swim, said the Mama Fishy, said, for those of us who have direct experience, yes, I am one of you, this was a very tough chapter. I suspect there will be a few more tough chapters before we move on. Yeah, I can imagine. It was very sad. I'm one of those naive folk who have never really been through something like that, which is a good thing. I should think of myself as very lucky, and you know, inevitably I probably will be going through something like that at some point, you know, a loved one or a close friend or family member on their deathbed. It's a, you know, it's a part of living, I suppose. But yeah, I do feel very naive when it comes to things like that, because for some reason I'm 34 nearly, and I've somehow managed to just not really be touched by that yet in my life. You know, like I've even still got all the grandparents that I had when I was born are still alive.
I mean, I've obviously been to funerals and things like that, I've never had someone as close as a parent or a sibling or someone like that even really be in a critical state. It's pretty crazy, right? I should touch wood. I'm touching wood right now.
Touching. And just lean over here. I'm touching as many different wooden surfaces as I can.
Oh, that's a good one. I just touched a really good bit of wood. I feel good. The bit of wood that I just touched is a table, which is in my office here. And it's kind of it's like a farmhouse table sort of thing. So, you know, your typical dining table, but I use it as a desk, and it's very, very rustic. It's all wobbly, and it's all uneven on the top, and, you know, it's got kind of holes with where nails should be, but they're not, and big dints and dings and chunks missing. Very rustic. But it's actually the childhood house where I was born and where I was raised until I was, I think, about 4. I think we had that house. I was a little toddler. It was a really old cottage. It was I think it was over 100 years old when we had it. And then it got knocked down when we left. Before we left, it got knocked down. And my mum salvaged some of the floorboards and then used it to make a farmhouse style dining table, and that's the table that is sitting behind me, and that's the wood that I just touched. So this wood behind me has had lives on top of lives on top of lives, and it's a part of my history, and now I do my writing on it. So there you go. If you've got a touch piece of wood, that's a good piece of wood to touch. I feel like I have unburdened myself of that curse. This was a good chapter, said Astrologer Plus. I can never read your name right. Astrologer Plus. This was a good chapter for Kitty / Levin to see how they handle things as a couple. I like how proactive Kitty is. Despite being cosseted, she's willing to do the dirty work. Cosseted. Cosseted. That's a good word, isn't it? Cosseted. Pampered. Means pampered. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, they did work well as a team, and I like that she kind of took the lead on that. Maybe she did step onto the silk mat first by a fraction. Hey, what do you think of that idea? Now, okay. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by my browser doing weird things. I need to read you the next chapter now. I need to. Simply must be done. Chapter 18 goes a little bit like this. Levin could not look at his brother calmly and could not be either natural or tranquil in his presence. When he entered the sick room, his eyes and his attention became clouded without his being conscious of it, and he did not see or distinguish the various details of his brother's condition. He smelt the terribly foul air, saw the dirt and disorder, the agonizing posture of the body, and heard the groans, but he felt there was no help for it. It never entered his head to consider all these details and imagine how that body was lying under the blanket, how that emaciated, doubled-up shins, loins, and back were placed, and whether it would not be possible to place them more comfortably or do something, if not to make him comfortable, at least to make him make his condition a little more tolerable. A cold shudder crept down his back when he began to think of those details. He was convinced beyond doubt that nothing could be done to prolong that life or to alleviate those sufferings, and the sick man was conscious of his brother's conviction and that there was no help for him, and this irritated him. This made Levin's position still harder. To be in the sick room was torture to Levin, but to be absent from it was still worse. He went out continually on all sorts of pretexts, coming back and going out again, incapable of remaining alone, but Kitty felt and acted quite differently. When she saw the invalid, she pitied him, and that pity produced in her woman's soul not the horror and the repulsion which it evoked in her husband, but a need for action, for finding out all the particulars of his condition, and a desire to help him. Those very details, the thought of which alone filled her husband with horror, at once arrested her attention. She sent for the doctor, sent to the chemist's, made the maid she had brought with her help Mary Nikolaevna sweep, dust, and wash, and herself washed and scrubbed some articles and spread something under the blanket. At her command, things were brought in and taken out of the sick room. She herself went several times to their own room, and, without paying any attention to the people she met, brought back with her sheets, pillowcases, towels, and shirts. The waiter, who was serving a meal to some engineers in the drawing room, came up several times at her summons with a cross look on his face, but could not help fulfilling her orders. She gave them with such kindly insistence that it was impossible to disobey her. Levin disapproved of all this, not believing that any good could come of it to the invalid. Above all, he was afraid that his brother might get angry about it, but the sick man, though apparently indifferent to it all, was not angry but only ashamed, and on the whole appeared rather interested in what she was doing for him. When Levin opened the door, on his return from the doctor's whither Kitty had sent him, he saw the invalid at the moment when, at Kitty's command, Mary Nikolaevna and the waiter were putting a clean shirt on him. The long white skeleton back with the enormous shoulder blades and protruding ribs and vertebrae was bare, and Mary Nikolaevna, with the waiter's help, somehow got one of the shirt sleeves twisted and could not guide the long limp arm into it. Kitty, having hurriedly shut the door behind Levin, was not looking that way, but the invalid moaned and she came toward him. "Be quick," she said. "Don't come here," muttered the sick man angrily. "I can myself..." "What do you say?" asked Mary Nikolaevna. But Kitty had heard and understood that he felt embarrassed and uncomfortable at being stripped in her presence. "I'm not looking," she said, helping the arm in. "Mary Nikolaevna, you go round to the other side and put it right," she added. "There is a little bottle in my handbag," she went on, turning to her husband. "You know, in the side pocket. Please go and get it. And meanwhile, everything will be put straight here." When Levin returned with the bottle, he found the invalid arranged in a bed, and everything around him quite altered. Instead of the foul smell, there was an odour of vinegar and of scent, which Kitty, pouting her lips and puffing out her rosy cheeks, was blowing through a little glass tube. There was no trace of dust left about. There was a mat beside the bed. On the table, medicine bottles and a bottle of water were neatly placed. also a pile of folded linen, which would be required later, and Kitty's embroidery. On another table by the bedside were a glass of some refreshing drink and some powders. The invalid himself washed, and with his hair brushed, lay between clean sheets, in a clean shirt, its white collar round his abnormally thin neck, gazing with a new lack of hope at Kitty and not taking his eyes off her. The doctor whom Levin had fetched, and whom he had found at a club, was not the one who had hitherto attended Nicholas, with whom the patient was dissatisfied. The new doctor took out a stethoscope and sounded him, shook his head, prescribed some medicine, and gave extremely precise instructions about giving the medicine and about diet. He ordered raw and very lightly boiled eggs and seltzer water with new milk at a certain temperature. When the doctor had gone, the patient said something to his brother of which Levin caught only the last words, "Your Kate." But by the look he gave her, Levin saw that his brother was praising her. He asked Kate, as he called her, to come nearer. "I feel much better," he said. Had I been with you, I should have recovered long ago. How pleasant." He took her hand and drew it towards his lips, but as if fearful that this might be disagreeable to her, he changed his mind, let her hand drop, and merely stroked it. Kitty took his hand in both of hers and pressed it. "Now turn me over to the left side and go to bed," he murmured. No one heard what he said, but Kitty understood him. She understood because her mind incessantly watched for his needs. On the other side, she said to her husband, "He always sleeps on that side. Turn him over." "On the other side," she said to her husband. "He always sleeps on that side. Turn him over. It is unpleasant to call the servants, and I cannot do it. Can you?" she said, addressing Mary Nikolaevna. "I am afraid to," answered Mary Nikolaevna. Dreadful as it seemed to Levin to put his arms around that terrible body, to grasp those parts under the blanket which he did not wish to remember, yet submitting to his wife with that determined expression which she knew, he thrust his arms under the blanket, and despite his great strength was struck by the strange heaviness of those emaciated limbs. While he was turning him, with the enormous lean arm about his neck, Kitty quickly and unostentatiously turned and beat the pillow and arranged the invalid's head and the hair that again clung to the temples. The patient retained his brother's hand in his. Levin felt that he wished to do something with his hand and was pulling it, and yielded with a sinking heart. Yes, his brother drew the hand to his lips and kissed it. Levin trembled, choking with sobs and unable to utter a word, left the room. All right, there we go. Whew, these chapters are a bit... sad, for want of a better word, aren't they? Jesus, Tolstoy, what are you doing to us? Have your say over on the Chit Chat page. You know what I mean by now. Thanks for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.